So the question was asked about the different dress that Jews wear and why and how and what should really be. Technically, a person is supposed to dress in clothing that is clean and not too wealthy and not too poor, something mediocre. The dress of the Jews in different countries usually matched the dress of that country. You know, people wore clothing that made sense until our generation. People wore, you know, if they lived in cold climates, so the Russian Jews wore fur hats. And people who lived in the hot Arab climates, they wore robes, just like the people there. I mean, people generally matched the clothing of the places they were at, and that's okay. It's not a problem. Malachli, it's correct. There's nothing wrong with that. We're not supposed to look funny, and it's fine. The Mishnah already says, the Mishnah in Shabbos says, in describing the halachos of women's garb, which part of the garb is considered an ornament, and which is considered a garb, and which is considered a prom carrying on Shabbos. It says, "Madiot yotzot perufot, alviot reulot, v'chol adam ala shedibur chachmim ba'oveh." The mead women, they put on their turbans and whatever sashes and shawls like the mead women, and the Jewish women who live in Arab countries, they'd cover themselves with the Arab type of garb. So you see, already in the time of the Mishnah, the men and women were dressing like the location they lived in. That was common. You find it also in other halachos of Shabbos and Tumah and Tahara. It was a given that wherever you live, you match your garb. We don't dress to stand out. We didn't. Now, there were things that we did out of modesty, that the nations would wear all kinds of proud colors, and we'd wear modest colors. The nations, their wives would wear flashy red dresses that would draw attention, and our wives would not wear flashy red dresses that would draw attention. The nations maybe went in less modest clothing, and we were careful to wear more modest clothing. But the general form of the clothing, whether we wore turbans, or we wore hats, or we wore robes, or we wore suits, that was pretty much dependent on what country we lived in. Let's go back to 200 years ago. And you start having a situation where Jews are moving out of ghettos a little bit. And you have a problem where Jews are suddenly being attracted to everything that's outside the ghetto. And we know that in Egypt, the Jews didn't change their dress, and that's one of the things that kept them together. It's definitely a plus. You know, a person who walks around college campus with a yarmulke, with a kippah, is going to ensure that he's going to maintain a certain behavior, hopefully. You know, he's not going to sit down to eat pork with his kippah, I hope. Once upon a time, I'd say he won't kiss his girlfriend with his kippah on. Today, I've been proven wrong. The kippah should hold the person to a certain behavior. And the dress is important. The dress does affect who we are. Technically, halachically, so long as it's modest dress, you don't have to dress this way or that way. When Jews came over from Europe, so some Jews maintained the garb from Europe as a protection, just like the Jews in Egypt maintained their garb as a protection. You see the Hasidim, they held that was very important. To an extent, it works. You know, a guy who isn't a Hasid, if he wants to go to a movie theater, a teenager, so he just puts on a baseball cap and walks into the movie theater and he's fine. For a Hasidish kid with his payas, it's a little bit more complicated. You know, it's a little bit more difficult. So, I had a friend who once told me, "Oh, we do it too. We just stoop it under the hat." It's different, and it does have what? What? Big payas? Oh, to tie it under the yarmulkes. Okay. Technically, there were people who stuck to that. Halachically, one can dress in anything that's modest and reasonable. I mean, a person doesn't have to wear a white shirt or a colored shirt. A person can go either way. A person doesn't have to wear black pants or colored pants. That's all okay. Some people feel that it affects them to be more modest people if they're dressed this way, and that has a basis in halacha. There is such a concept in halacha that, you know, if you wear loud colors, it might affect you, and if you wear calmer colors, that might affect you too. It used to be that In yeshivas, people wore more colorful suits. If you look at pictures, even the Mir yeshiva from 30, 50 years ago, you'll see they were all wearing colored suits and colored hats and feathers in their hats. And things looked different. Things were more colorful 50 years ago. What? Velvet? I don't know. You can't tell from the pictures. But things were more colorful. And the world shifted. And it stems from many things that the world shifted. And that today it's become acceptable, at least in the Haredi yeshivas, that you wear black and white, right? Black or blue pants and a white shirt. And part of the idea behind it goes back to the importance of a yeshiva student looking respectable. Back in Europe, they were always careful that a yeshiva student, when he goes out, the people look at him and they feel, ah, that's a respectable person. So they insisted that they shave and they comb their hair and they'd even walk with a walking stick. You'd see young men, young yeshiva guys, they'd have their hat. That was what was respectable back then, to wear a hat and a jacket and a white shirt or a button-down shirt. And today, it's become like a stigma. And people can wear a white shirt that's completely not ironed and black pants that have holes in them, and that's defeating the purpose, right? The idea is that when people look at it, they think learning Torah is white collar. You know, even in when we describe jobs, we describe a more respectable job as a white collar job and a less respectable job as a blue collar job. So learning Torah, the rabbis wanted that the students and the balabatim that see them look at it as something respectable, so they wanted the students to dress respectable. So that was the idea also of wearing white shirts. Even in Merkaz HaRav, Rav Kook wanted the students to wear hats and jackets and to be dressed like the Haredim are dressed. They just didn't listen.
No, they had the whole revolution of Yom Kippur and all that.
Okay, so the students didn't listen, but even there, the rabbis really wanted it to look that way. When I go visit Merkaz HaRav, so I have a lot of friends there. So sometimes Friday night after prayer, I take off my hand jacket because I don't feel comfortable walking among the guys with the hand jackets. After prayer, I put it down and I wish my friends good Shabbos. So the Rosh Yeshiva saw me that way once and he said, "Where's your hat and jacket?" even in Merkaz HaRav, that's the way the Rosh Yeshiva also wanted it to be. I don't think that you could look at a Jew and say, you should be wearing a white shirt. No, a Jew could dress any way that's respectable. And like we said, not too wealthy, not too poor. Something in the middle, something respectable. Whatever a person can afford. But at the end of the day, there's no mitzvah that says you have to dress in black and white or any other way. If you're learning in yeshiva, you have to take extra care that the way you dress is something that people look at and say, ah, that's a yeshiva guy. Because when you walk out of yeshiva, people look at you and you're representing the Torah. So they don't know if you're learning in yeshiva for 2 years or 10 years or 20 years. They know you're a yeshiva guy. They ask you, what do you do? You say, I learned Machon Meir. They say your t-shirt says Gratefully Dead. They're a little bit, that's how a yeshiva guy looks. So it's not such a good idea. You are representing something, and that's where Chazal said, the more you represent Torah, the more responsibility you have. To the extent that Chazal said, Talmid Chacham shenimtza revavad bigdo, the Talmid Chacham has a stain, he has some fat from his lunch, he got some grease on his clothing, and people usually don't feel so comfortable sitting next to a guy whose shoulders are greasy. So, Chayav Mita, Chazal say he deserves the death penalty, because he's causing people to hate Torah. They look at the guy learning Torah and they say, ah, he stinks. He doesn't shower. He's filthy. That's not right, because we're representing God and we're representing the Torah. And all of you have the same status. So there's no difference here. You walk out of yeshiva, people look at you as representing yeshiva. So you have to think how you dress. A person should dress respectably. Respectably doesn't mean the finest clothing. It just means something that's respectable. Yes, just remind me your name.
Sure.
Yes.
I just say that it's also is something deeper than what you say about this respect outside. That's if we have the words and you have the heart. The point of this, elegant clothes, respectable clothes, is that we represent something more than just us, right? We represent that we are servants of God. And more than this, if we pray 3 times in a day, it's like my rabbi always gives the example, like, how would you dress if you go to visit some president of some country, right? How would you dress? That's the point.
And it's a different question.
In the front of the king of the kings. That's a good reason to look good, right?
That's a different question. There is a halacha about how to dress for tefillah, which is a different halacha. It's a different question. Just like some Sephardim don't wear a kippah outside the house, but when they daven or they make a bracha, they put a kippah on their head. And that used to be the way they did in the time of the Gemara too. Okay, it's a totally different question. How to dress for prayer. But you're right, for prayer we should be dressed nicely. Yeah. Okay. On this point?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
How it evolved, was it more the consideration of what it would cause a certain split within Orthodox?
That was about the black kippah and the knitted kippah. I think the clothing was because in principle he agreed. But the black kippah and the knitted kippah, Rav Kook was against the knitted kippah, not to cause a split. But the clothing, I think, in principle, he held. I think so, but you have to check with people who have more direct knowledge of what he said.
The question arises with clothing, when we discuss with people, there's also a certain evolution that goes beyond the rabbinic figures. Usually the society, the society makes the decisions on how dress evolves.
Right.
So, I remember Soloveitchik, he passed him that after Kennedy came to office without a hat. It's no longer necessary for Jews to be wearing a hat for tefillah. It seems to be a very relative.
The set society defines it. We began with that. Society defined.
What about Strymel?
Strymel's, if a person wants to wear it, it's fine. It's not obligatory. It's you want to wear it, okay. You know, there are people who value it, so that's fine. You know what?
Right.
It's fine for them. You want to? I'm not sure it's a good idea. You know, you got to become a part of a crowd. That's the crowd. You know, we had a student from Machon Meir who decided he likes wearing a shtraimel on Shabbos. So he wore a knitted kippah all week long, but on Shabbos he got a shtraimel. Now the only problem is he got it like 2 weeks after he was married. So his wife looks at him and says, "I married a Machon Meir guy. What's with the shtraimel?" He says, "I feel holier this way." She didn't like it. And he'd walk in the streets in an area where there were no people with shtraimels. And everyone would look at him like... He was not wearing a shtraimel before he was married, and he wasn't wearing any other Hasidic garb. He wore his regular Machon Meir clothing, plus a shtraimel. And it didn't exactly... It didn't exactly sit well with his wife or anyone else that looked at him. Many heads spinned when they saw it. So I'm saying, if you want to join that crowd, we have students. We've attended weddings of our students who donned the shtraimel and joined the Hasidic crowd. Good for them, you know. Each crowd has their advantages, and kol kavod. Tov, let's.